Hi, I'm David, and welcome to the Datasaurus Rex podcast. And today we have a real special guest, Mark Jewett, who is the VP of Product Marketing at Tableau. He's been in this industry for about 20 years, working with products, marketing, operations, Microsoft and Siebel. And he's here today to talk to us about his time at Tableau and also about the Salesforce acquisition. So it's very exciting to have you here, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you so much, David. It's a total pleasure to be here. I feel so fortunate to be able to come on to your show and not just have a discussion with you, but all the people that you talk to through your show. Mm. It's a real honor, and thank you again for having me.
Great, cool. So yeah, no, thanks, Mark. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, we're doing things a little bit differently today. So we're just going to ask Mark a series of questions. Relevant to his job, current events around Salesforce acquiring Tableau, which is super exciting. So we're just going to dive in, ask those questions and see where this takes us. So let's go.
Sounds good. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Cool. Okay, here we go. So question one is, let's just get to know a little bit more about you. So what does your day-to-day at Tableau look like? And how did you get to work with the Tableau community?
So my day-to-day, one of the things I love about my job is it'd be a little hard to define as a typical day-to-day. I got to experience this recently. My daughter, who is a freshman in university, came and did a job shadow with me for a day. Just, you know, kind of, hey, see what this business environment, you know, what is it? What does your job look like? And I realized, kind of living it through her eyes that day, wow. There's a lot that happens. I mean, I get to talk with the community. I get to talk to, I get to recruit. I get to talk to people that, you know, are considering a career, a position with Tableau. I get to work on strategy, where we're going with the company, with our products, with our offerings, the way people purchase the products. I get to think about our programs. So I'll have meetings where we talk about how's the engagement going? Are we getting everything that we can out of the program. It is impossible to characterize a single day, but I've shared with you before the show, and so you know it's not disingenuous for me to say it. The single most favorite thing I get to do is talk with the Tableau community. After 20 years, I'm very clear that that's one of the top things that makes Tableau so very different. And so that has been a really cool learning for me, a really great experience for me. I learn all the time. And so that's certainly a favorite part of the job.
That's great to hear. And that's definitely something which drew me to Tableau, the vibrant community. Like everyone's so generous. Even all the guests I've interviewed, they don't hoard knowledge. They actively share it. They use those skills to help people, and they're really passionate about the product. So it's great to see that on the other end, at the company level, you guys are really receptive and love that kind of stuff too. So
those words you used are so remarkably consistent in what I hear. No matter, you know, I might be talking to somebody like you that obviously just a pillar in the community and very experienced. And on the other hand, somebody that's, you know, fairly brand new to it, maybe just has discovered, they've been working with the product for a little while and now they've discovered, wow, what's this Tableau community, you know, the various different aspects of it. And the words are really similar. Generous. I hear that word a lot, that generosity, and you see it play out in so many different ways, right? A desire to help other people, a desire to help their organization. There's a lot of fanaticism about, I want my organization to be better with data, right? And then the desire to help the world, that's very consistent too. And so, you know, the words that you use to describe your own, the attraction to you, I think that these are very universal benefits that people garner.
Oh, that's good to hear. And it's I guess, yeah, just testament to the good product. You know, people want to evangelize it. They see the benefits. They see how it can fix a lot of pain points in how they've previously done stuff at business, that they won't shut up about it until like it's the people who've given it a fair go. But then I think equally for me, at least when you get opportunity, people don't suddenly start to see it. It's not just another fancy tool with bells and whistles. You know, the managers are like, oh my God, I can actually get answers. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So it's kind of great to see that the product actually backs up its promises, which maybe some other softwares don't, or not just in general, like just in general. Yeah, you hear the pitch, you're like, yeah, whatever, and then you see it, and you're like, oh my God, I can actually do what I want. This is amazing. So
it was a really serious decision for me when I decided to come to Tableau about a year and a half ago. Mm. And in retrospect, it didn't need to be a serious decision. It was an easy decision. I've really enjoyed the time here. I was leaving a 15-year job at Microsoft, or a 15-year career at Microsoft, I enjoyed Microsoft a lot. I learned a lot, but it was a serious consideration for me. And I'll tell you, the thing that was just overwhelmingly convincing to me, mm-hmm. And I'll admit to you, I hadn't really started to fully appreciate the full breadth of the Tableau community yet. But on the Tableau product, using it a bit myself and then talking to people about it, and people would say to me, and I almost feel embarrassed to say it, Tableau mm-hmm. saved my life.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And when you would get into it, it wasn't, you know, hey, I'm airlifting somebody out of an accident kind of save the life. It mm-hmm. was, I really needed some answers. I downloaded Tableau. I started working with it and got to the answers that I needed, and it literally saved my life, right? That you know, in relation to the work that they were trying to do, and a few of those conversations, and I thought, I got to be part of this. how am I going to? I'm a product guy at heart, so you know, I'm not going to miss this.
To hear those kind of stories,
Rest, as they say, is history. So
exciting. No, that's great to hear, and a good. But yeah, you're just as passionate and loving the product as your users. So that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Cool, man. No, thanks for sharing that. So I guess, your day stays super varied for a good reason. But that's awesome to hear. So let's jump on to another question. Speaking about the community and about the Salesforce acquisition, do you think that the awesome online and offline communities, Tableau communities, just self-initiated and generated, do you reckon that's helped Salesforce decide, did that factor into their decision to buy Tableau?
I and everything I say kind of about the acquisition and our conversation here is going to be some supposition and interpretation on my part. Mm-hmm. But so in my own interpretation, based on what I've learned and what I've been working on, I think the undoubted answer is absolutely. And I think in probably a couple of different ways that I might highlight. The first one is that I do think it's an absolute representation of that passion, right? That and the connection to the product. If you're deciding if you'd like to, make an acquisition of a company that's at its heart a product company, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing that this set of people in the world exist, that's a substantial set of people that have that passion, have made that bet on that, product that you're acquiring, that's got to be a very comforting sort of a reinforcing, thought in terms of the due diligence that you do to decide, hey, should I go and do this big thing? Hmm. So I think that's definitely plays a role in the case that they must have been making in their own hallways about, hey, what does this look like? Then another one I would highlight, and I feel like I could go all kinds of directions here. So let me just try some.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one I would highlight is I think it probably strongly reinforced the cultural fit. So many times these acquisitions, where they live and die is the fit. Right, it's not the business case that somebody wrote on a piece of paper. It's not the projection of the potential, synergy that happens because of aligned customers or aligned technologies or other things like that. I think they live and die on how well the companies, how much do they see the world in a similar way? How well can they come together and be really productive together? Hmm. I have to say that the Trailblazer community, I think there's a few things that we probably can learn from them. I know there's certainly things that they can learn from us. And the fact that Salesforce has been a part of the Trailblazer community and the fact that Tableau has been a part of the Tableau community, it had to be a pretty good indicator to them, certainly to us, that fit, that it just it must have seemed promising. And so I think on just those two aspects alone, it had to be a really strong indicator for a positive outcome.
Cool. No, that's great. Yeah. Cause they do have their great vibrant community too. Like, yeah, jump into the product, try and get the most out of it and then share it with others. So I guess, yeah, having two companies who see value in that and support that, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think so. It's definitely been part of the conversations, even if, it's some ungodly Singapore hour, there would have been an investor, a conference call where they talked about, where Mark Benioff and, Adam Selipsky and others kind of talked about the deal that was in the making, and this came up a lot. I mean, even as specific as Tableau Public, came up in the conversation there. And I can kind of give you the inside scoop here that sure, those calls have some scripted points and some talking points and some things that are important to cover, but they also, when you have really capable, charismatic, leaders, they're going to have their own things that they want to express there. And so those things coming up in an unscripted way, to me, makes it very genuine. It says, hey, this community thing, it's got some legs in this relationship. So let's keep talking about it.
Oh, exciting. Yeah, no, it's not just, it's not just companies, just a bunch of people and some money and numbers. It's actually, they see it beyond that. It's like real, proper, genuine people and passion inside and outside the company.
I think so.
So
yeah. I think so. Yeah. Well,
that's good to hear. Thanks for sharing that. That's exciting. I guess staying on the same topic, what excites you most about this Salesforce Tableau acquisition?
Excites me most. There's quite a few I could point to, so I'm going to pick one, and I hesitate to call it the most. Okay. I'm going to call it, one that really excites me. We've already talked about a few, cultural fit, focus on community, what they've been able to do, and I think our ability to learn from them, just like I think we can be teachers. But I'm going to focus on a different one, which is, we live in a world where we're super interested about where data gets created and where work happens. And increasingly, we're trying to bring those things together. Right, we envision a world where analytics and the act of making better decisions is just worked into. It's not a side process. It's happening in the. It's part of the way that people work. And to be associated and closer to an organization that produces an awful lot of data that is extremely meaningful to their customers, all about the different, experiences that their customers have, right? And so it's this deeply meaningful set of data, and a lot of it, right? Yeah. Yeah. And then it's where there's certain roles where, you ask people, what do you use in your job? When you turn your computer on, what do you use in your job? There is a massive number of people out there that would say the first word off of their lips would be Salesforce something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the idea of you've got all this data, it's super meaningful to many, many customers out there, many, many companies and organizations out there. And then you've got this group of people that are using it in their day-to-day work. The idea that we can help those people make better decisions with stuff that you and I know is the best on the market, the best on the planet, right? The best in the universe.
Totally.
I'm pretty excited about where we can go with that. Now you should ask me about neutrality and how do we feel about all the other data and the other applications in the world. And
yes.
I'd be happy to answer that. But, this aspect of, one of the things that really gets me excited, I think that we'll be able to do a lot together with Salesforce on that.
Yeah, that's cool. And that makes sense, especially, Salesforce has a ton of data. If you can help even get 5-10% more out of that for the current users, that's amazing. I guess to stay on this question, that's great for people who use Salesforce. But as you just mentioned, the people at the other data sources, what excites you about the other way? So people who maybe don't use Salesforce yet, but they still use Tableau, how is this going to, what excites you about helping those people?
Yeah, a few things. I think that the first thing that I just want to say, you know, straight up is that part of Tableau's value proposition, you know, part of what we've grown up, part of what we've promised, if you will, is that, you know, we want to help you make the best decisions across all of your data, right? When we don't say we want to help people see and understand, you know, insert application, you know, here, data, right?
Yes.
We want to help people see and understand Salesforce data. We want to help people see and understand SAP data, right? Sort of take that, the line, it doesn't exist there for a reason, which is it's all the data, right? Yeah. That's part of the value that people have gotten out of Tableau is that I can reason across all this different data. And we're not picky about how you want to deploy that, where you want to use that, the data sources that you want to use with it. We would be fools, absolute fools, to leave that part of our value proposition in the dust. You know, I just, and so, you know, if we're being fools as part of Salesforce, well then, you know, you sort of say, well, did they make a good acquisition if we're killing the value of what they bought? So I kind of wanted to say that out loud is just, you know, that's a question that I understandably get asked.
Yep.
You know, hey, are you still going to be the Switzerland of data? You know, and I think the answer is a hearty yes. And if anything, I feel the questions, you know, coming the opposite direction. You know, so I've heard questions, you know, and statements from Salesforce where they talked about actually this hybrid thing that Tableau, you know, seems to have really got a nice angle on hybrid data, hybrid deployment. That seems pretty interesting to us. We ought to be thinking about that. And so, you know, I think we can inform each other, and I think continuing to maintain that part of the value proposition is really important. But
yeah,
that was minutes of an answer, and I didn't actually answer your question yet. So now I'll answer your question.
Okay, it's good. Thank you.
So here's how I think about it. First of all, just very tactically, you know, at the end of the day, the amount of innovation that we can produce, the amount of feature capability, the amount, all of that stuff, it takes engineers, right? And you know, those engineers require this thing called a paycheck, and right, if you think about our ability, the economies of scale, and our ability to do that, you know, working with technologists and another company that have been innovative on their own right, and I'm very optimistic that we will continue and even accelerate on the pace of innovation. So, and that's not a working only with Salesforce data kind of a statement. I think that there's a ton of stuff that we can do and find, you know, energy in moving even faster on the pace of innovation. So that, you know, if you're using, you know, you as David using Tableau over any data source, I think you should expect us to just continue to, you know, make progress on the capability side.
Amazing.
And second, I think we all feel that more people in our organizations, you know, working with Tableau in some shape or form would be a great thing, right? Like, we agree that, you know, more people having more access to data to make better decisions, use the analysis that we've structured, that's a good thing. And, you know, one thing that Salesforce has been very successful with is, you know, broader enterprise, broader organizational deployments. And they have some relationships that I think are really interesting, and they've been able to build up a trusted relationship with customers that I think is really interesting. And I see for somebody that's using Tableau every day, I think the promise there is, hey, what if your organization was using more Tableau? Wouldn't that be a good thing? And, you know, I think a lot of people say yes to that. So that's the second part of my answer.
That's amazing. That's great. It's like, I guess, one of the reasons you got bought out was because of the innovation and that constant pushing to make the product the best it can be. And now, if anything, this acquisition is like a shot in the arm to, or be a catalyst to do this even more and faster. So, yeah, that's exciting to hear.
Brilliant. It sure feels that way to me. Now we've got the other problem, which I'm sure you probably struggle with because I hear it from everybody, which is, wow, how do I keep up? You know, this stuff is coming at me on a quarterly basis, or sometimes even more often. And my goodness, how do I keep up? But we'll just keep creating that problem. I'm sorry about that, but that's just part of the proposition.
It's a good problem to have, and you've got a great marketing team and a great community to help people figure out all those new updates and features and how to best use them. So that's good to hear. Cool. Okay, no, that's great. So I guess on that too, so there are a lot of good things, but potentially, can you share any areas of concern as well you might have around this, which you guys are trying to work to address?
Yeah, I mean, look, change. Change is the human condition is that responding to change, there's lots of different, reactions to change. And I generally see change as great times of opportunity. I believe that the feedback that I've heard from customers, from partners, from the community, I had a chance to talk to quite a few community members in different shapes and forms, from the employees here at Tableau. I generally hear kind of a combination of optimism and curiosity. And that curiosity can kind of go two ways, right? It's great that I think people are predisposed to be rather optimistic. And I think there's a lot of good reasons for that. And I've seen a lot of great perspectives on that, tweets, LinkedIn posts, et cetera, where, people have shared reasons to be optimistic. I've seen some of the, places where people have, some concern, and so that the curiosity, the answers to those questions, the way we proceed, is really, really important. We got to keep our hands on the controls here as a community and as a company, and do a good job with this. And so I think there always should be a healthy dose of concern when it comes to managing change. That's a pretty fair concern to have. Yeah, so that's maybe the main one on my mind.
No, that's fair enough. That's good to hear. And it's just great to see how Tableau and yourself as a company are trying to address this too. Because, some companies, they just send out one PR statement and be like, nope, that's it. We're covered. But you guys are always talking to the communities, the ambassadors, the people at large. You've got those FAQs. You're doing stuff like this to engage with the community more. So it's great to hear that you guys care about this stuff and you are trying to work through these concerns too and not just ignore them, which is great to hear.
I can't tell you how pleased I am that it comes across that way, because it takes a genuine effort to approach it in that way. And I'll tell you that it was quite a day that it all got announced and everything. The first phone calls, with this headset on my head, the very first thing I was doing was talking to leaders in the community.
Yeah, I remember.
Of course you do. In fact, I think that was the genesis of some of our opportunity to talk further here. That's just a genuine, I consider us to be Tableau the company and part of Tableau the community. And that mental model for me, that organization of things in my brain, that's why, I found out something really important and I want to tell you about it. I want to talk about it. I want to work through it. I want to figure it out. That's genuine. I'm glad it comes across that way.
Yeah, no, totally. It's refreshing and great to see. So thank you. Yeah. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you, what is one of your favorite Tableau public dashboards?
Wow, you're making me do one. Do you know, David, that you're making me pick one of more than 2 million dashboards? Okay, yeah, so that is.
I feel bad now.
My goodness. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to trick you here, and I'm going to answer it. I'm going to give you a few, and I'll tell you why. But I'll do it kind of quick.
Okay.
So first, one of the things I love about Tableau Public is that I can find data sets and data and analysis about any topic. And why that matters to me is because there's a bunch of topics I'm super passionate about. I am a American college football nut. I went to the University of Washington, which is just near the Tableau conference, headquarters here in Seattle. And so data about college football is I can't get enough of it. And of course, it's like any sport, you know, you got Sports Viz Sunday exists because there's so much darn data about sports. Totally. So I love going up there. And there's one that Rody Zakovich did about visualizing college football. I don't remember the precise title, but it was visualizing college football. And I can go up there and see the University of Washington, the record that we had, and look at it across time. And so I could spend hours on that thing. Okay. So data. That's data that I love. Rody did a good job. Another thing that I love to do is see how people are using new features. In fact, in the 2019.2 launch, one of the things that we did, and this might have missed people a little bit, one of the things we did is we highlighted community viz's that were on Tableau Public using the new 2019.2 features. So, wow, I mean, that's amazing, right? That's community members building things on beta technologies, right? Having them ready to go on Tableau Public when it upgrades to the newest release, and then us sticking it up on our main 2019.2 webpage.
Wow.
To say, hey, this is how people are actually using it, not woohoo, we made a new feature, right?
Yeah.
So, in that spirit, Lindsay Poulter is a true inspiration to me because she opened up my eyes on what you could do with various forms of actions, right? Set actions is it was kind of where I saw her really lay the groundwork. And I love going to see her visualizations and how she's using it. There's one on NBA data. Again, I'm showing my American sports bias here, sorry. Where you can look at age distribution of teams at the aggregate level, and then you click on it and it brings up the players, the individual players, and shows the distribution of those players within that, how that's making up the band essentially. So super interactive. You can learn just right there. Really clean, very obvious what you should be doing. So I love her work. That's another one. And last one, plug here.
Okay.
Data plus music. We just launched a new feature on Data Plus Music, and it's featuring Tableau public vizs that are all about music. Prince, the Beatles, K-pop, different Spotify, you know, stuff. Actually, Skylar from Spotify did a really cool, there's 35 million Spotify playlists out there.
Wow.
That include an emoji of some sort in the way somebody's written their playlist. So the obvious one is Beyonce, maybe a queen or a crown of some sort, right?
Yeah.
He went and analyzed that, and we sort of feature what he's done up there and talk about that a little bit. And I love that. It's just such a creative way to garner insight out of something I never would have thought of before.
Wow, yeah.
Just another cool use. So there's three. I gave you three for one.
I love it. Thank you. Yeah, bargain. And I'll make sure we find those and put those in the show notes below so everyone can go check those out too. So
awesome.
That's really exciting. I guess you touched upon it briefly with features. I also want to ask you, again, as VP of Product Marketing, what are some of your favorite Tableau features? What are you most proud of? I know there's, again, I'm just limiting you to a couple because there's so many, but what would you say would be some of your favorites?
Yeah, and I probably have a bit of a recency bias here because as the VP of Product Marketing, you know, I am oftentimes out talking about brand new features and what's coming, what's exciting. I'm trying to help people understand, you know, the things that are coming at them so quickly. One easy answer would be VizQL. I mean, it's a bit of a sellout, you know, quote feature, right? But it is sort of the foundation upon which so much is built. But with a little more recency bias, you know, some of the things that I'm pretty excited about, one is just the different ways that actions, you know, set actions, parameter actions continue to push what's possible in terms of interactivity. I think, you know, the way that they can save space, right, increase the density of insight that can happen in a similar size space, I think is really interesting. It's efficient, and there's also an elegance to interacting with something like that draws you in. You know, I dare say it here. We all have to do the rigor part of analysis. I understand that, but I don't mind a bit of a show, right? I don't, I mean, the stories and the, that's part of how this comes together and makes data interesting for people. And so that those different levels of interactivity, something so simple as a toggle button, you know, to be able to get filters out of the way again, so that the analysis really jumps out. And that's, I love the stuff that's happening in that space of making it more engaging. So those are some sort of favorite feature areas for me that are kind of hitting right now. Again, I realize that's some of the latest and greatest, but
No, that's cool stuff. No, that's good to hear. And I guess and the interesting thing is some of those features people maybe build using existing functions or they hack certain things like get creative. I often see that informs future releases of products too. So it's kind of good that the community build stuff, they validate that it's cool and people like it. And then that gives you guys more flags to be like, oh yeah, we should maybe put that toggle button in or something like that. So it's good to see. Yeah.
We're working at a company that actually walks the walk on being customer focused. I've been learning about that, honestly. I mean, we all, you know, if you're in a great job, it's because you're good at what you do and you have a ton to learn. And, you know, for me, really learning deeply about what it means to be customer focused, not just to say it, not just to put it in a mission statement, not just to put it in your sales pitch. But for example, you know, one of the reasons I love a user group meeting is it's pretty common to have some form, some shape of like a tips and tricks presentation in there. And, you know, one of the things I love to do is just sit there and think, okay, that's a workaround, but we could actually do that. We could make that just part of the way it works. If that's the way people want it to work, right? That's a really good indicator for us. And so, you're exactly right. What the feedback we get, you know, what people put into the ideas forum, what people share with us and all the various different ways that we get to meet, stuff that gets talked about in user group meetings, that's all a huge source of information for us about what we can do better.
Amazing. That's great to hear. And I often say this, like, you don't know what you don't know, right? So if you guys are humble enough to expose yourself and hear all these other kinds of ideas and inputs, that that's a great way to spark what if, we could do that. So that's good to hear you guys are really open to that and engage with the
communities. A great relationship is two ways on that, because I also recognize that the people that use the product that aren't building the product have to be open to the fact that they might think of some things. You know, we research things that people never would have dreamed up. Right. The art of the possible is incredibly powerful. In fact, I'll go and say this is that you don't come up with VizQL by going and asking people what they need.
Yeah.
Right. And we also have to be good on that research side and on that, you know, being innovative thinkers ourselves and thinking about what's the problem, not what's the feature you need, but what's the problem you're trying to solve. And oftentimes that can also generate some really interesting product conversations.
No, that's a good point. Otherwise, you get into that. I quoted a Henry Ford quote where it's like, if you ask people what they wanted back in the 1900s, they'd want faster horses, not cars. That's so I guess you got to, so it's good to see you guys are approaching it from both angles. It's just exciting. So I think it was kind of, for me at least, like when parameter actions came out, it was kind of like, cool. And then you can start to see what was actually could be done with it. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I didn't even know I wanted this.
Yes.
And so I see your point. Like it's off sometimes, as a user, we don't know what we don't know we want. So that's, it's good to hear you guys are tackling it both ways. That's exciting.
Yeah, I think it's a two-way problem. Well, and what, you know, I bet the way you saw it being featured, you know, what got your brain thinking about parameter actions and how it could be really useful in what you're trying to do is probably what a bunch of people in the community were doing. So talk about a powerful entity, right? I mean, that's just amazing. I'll start getting all worked up. So I'll let us move on.
Loving this passion coming through. This is good. But just in interest of time, let's keep it on. But I would love to chat a lot more about this. Let's keep going.
Let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. So I guess, here's a good one. So web authoring, that seems to be, that's here now, right? Or it's coming very soon. I just saw an announcement on the Tableau website. How excited are you about web authoring?
I'm excited because I see people excited about it, right? I mean, building things that we think are cool is one thing, but when there's a genuine need, And people start to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is why this is cool. We somewhat quietly turned on, editing capabilities in Tableau Public, recently. Mm-hmm. We just saw an immediate demand signal there for people. And, you know, it's such a simple scenario of I've got something published. And I want to make a relatively straightforward change to it. You know, it's I'm not doing some big, you know, I just, oh, darn, this thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay, so, you know, fix that thing, republish it. No, just go in right there, edit it, voila. And that's what is popping up right now, just on that simple scenario, right? And so, for organizations, there's a lot of excitement about what's possible when you no longer, you know, this idea that you don't need a client, right? You don't need a desktop version because the upkeep of that, right, for the organization, the opportunity to give people the latest innovation without having to go and upgrade everybody's laptops, right? Yeah. That there's a very powerful message that has less to do with I'm using Tableau every day and more to do with I'm responsible for the organizational wide deployment of helping people use Tableau. That also is very exciting when you think about web.
Totally, yeah. Like everyone gets the newest features straight away. They're all on the same platform, like ecosystem, because I guess currently there's like different tiers. Like you probably got some people using version 9.3, 10.5, like it's all,
yep.
I guess this is a way to keep everyone consistent, give them a consistent experience, but also give them the latest and greatest of what Tableau has to offer, which is, and also you're right, just being able to edit on the fly web-based, like even minor things is great. There's a ton of, when you were talking about that, there's a few times I face where I'm actually prohibited from making a change because I'm like, oh, I've got to go back to my computer, blah, 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 right. Do the thing, push it. Whereas if I can just do it there and then in front of any computer, I mean, but I can securely log into, then that's great. So yeah, I'm excited about that too.
Yeah. Perfect. And it's going to be a two-way proposition. Again, we're all going to have to work together because there's the what's possible in the technology and then it's where is people's comfort zone. And you know, the comfort zone is often determined by what you know and what you're used to. And so, I encourage people to, one of the things that I do is I use, what the web interface as often as I can in the own, in the analysis that I'm doing. I'm similar actually to Ask Data. I use Ask Data, whenever I can, because, I know I can do it the way of going into Tableau, opening up Tableau desktop and going and doing it. But it, as I change some of these habits, I realize it's oftentimes quite faster for me to use Ask Data to go answer a very specific question that I have. Not to publish up a dashboard that I'm going to routinely look at and check performance on, but hey, I just have this question about leads last quarter or something like that. Well, that's a super simple thing to type. Well, similar on web authoring, you know, a lot of the work I can actually do works great in the web interface. And so I've been kind of testing the bounds for myself. And I think we'll all kind of need to do that and break that comfort zone a bit.
Totally. But that's really interesting. Are we maybe ever going to see web authoring and Ask Data combined? So you get Ask Data in a purely web-based environment?
Ask Data in a web. Should we do it? What do you think?
I think it could be pretty cool, man. Like, again, just for those reasons, on the fly, you just got a question. All you need is a microphone and a web browser. Access to your data, and I don't know, it could be pretty cool.
Here's how I'll answer this.
Okay.
Number one, we absolutely had to start with the relevant answers piece, and we still have more work to do there, but I am super proud of what the team accomplished in terms of it's not garbage. There's a lot of garbage out there where you type something in and it's going to do a simple keyword search and it's not going to really understand what you're asking. We will always be able to find holes in every technology, but on the whole, it gives you very relevant answers. And I think people have been pretty surprised. It knew actually what I was asking, and it gave me something that pretty much answered what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So it had to start there.
Yep.
Because we can build all kinds of ways to interface with a garbage system, and it's still a garbage system. Now, it's definitely interesting to think about the different ways that people will engage with it. And the reason that I asked, well, how do you want to do it, is because I'm super curious. I hear some people tell me, well, I want to speak into my phone. Right. I want to, you know, hey, Siri, hey, Alexa, hey, whatever. What am I, you know, what do my sales look like for last week? I hear other people that want to be able to almost like a search engine bar, right? Just go to a thing, a website, and the search engine bar, and just be able to get to it anywhere and ask the question of my data. And so I hear different ones, and I'm just, you know, we at the end of the day, we got to prioritize them based on what people are asking for and what we think are the most amazing scenarios. By the way, embedding it in other applications, that's another one that I hear. Like, what if I could get to it from another application? So I think it's all out there to be done. I don't think it's crazy of you to ask or think about it all.
Okay, no, that's good. It must be a tough job. There's probably a ton of good ideas, but I think, as you mentioned earlier, you've got to prioritize with the resources you have, because you'd love to do everything, I'm sure, but it's just, you got to pick and choose. So, and it's so easy for someone like me to go, oh, can't you just do that? And it's like, well, yes, but it requires a lot of work on the back end. So why like, so I completely understand, like, it's easy to come up with an idea, but it's super hard to execute it and well, because like you just mentioned, a lot of other like verbal interaction tools, they are kind of quite gimmicky. Or they work, or they fail at half the time. And if they do that, then you're just not going to use it. Like, it's so.
Boy, it doesn't take long to form that impression and just not go back to it. That's why that was so important to get that right. I mean, we even made an acquisition to really make, you know, make sure we acquired ClearGraph. And, you know, so we were willing out to go out and spend some money to make sure that had to be the core of the starting point. So, But fun stuff.
Cool. Okay, great. Okay, so let's take it off in a different direction, but it's still community related. I think one of the other cool things about Tableau is diversity and inclusion is a big part of the Tableau community. Just wondering if you could share any tips or resources for people to learn more about it, and also how could they get more engaged and active?
This is such an important conversation. And there's so many sort of, I don't know, walls that need to be broken down for us to keep making meaningful progress on this. And, you know, Tableau, just like the tech industry at large, just like most companies on the planet, you know, have a lot of progress to make. But I do think there's a really important conversation going on. And, you know, one of my favorite things I did at the Tableau conference last year is I went to the Data Plus Women session. And it was such a supportive and powerful environment. And part of it was there was a bunch of men there. And you know, one of the things that I include in my emails, it's in my LinkedIn profile, is my pronouns. And you know, you might look at me and feel that I am obviously a middle-aged white male. You know, I imagine a lot of people look at me that way and think that, and that would be quite accurate. But for me, right, that I, you know, sort of want to model that behavior and that kind of protocol of, that's just something that you do in your interaction with people, right? You don't assume, you share, is really important to me. And I think, you know, people, you know, in these cohorts or these categories, recognizing that and embracing, I think, is really important. So these conversations are really important, and you find a variety of them across the Tableau community. That generosity that we started the very beginning of our conversation talking about generosity, it gives me a lot of optimism that the Tableau community is going to help make some really substantial progress in this area, because we're willing to have these kind of chats. You know, they're not dressed up. They're very open. You know, the ability to bring data, right? That's an important part of this. To really look, we're going to break down, you know, anecdotes and qualitative assessments with real data, and then just the desire for the world to be a better place in many different ways. you know, for animals, for people, for people of different income levels, for all kinds of diversity. I hold a lot of aspiration for the Tableau community to not just solve this in the Tableau community, but to help the world, you know, take it on and to make really important progress. And so I'm like, as you can tell, I have a pretty high expectation of the Tableau community. Now, when I talk about Tableau, you know, we need to hold ourselves to the same standard. In other words, you know, Tableau, the company. You know, there are things that we are doing in terms of hiring leadership, in terms of understanding, you know, what equity looks like in terms of compensation and things like that. You know, that's all really important for us to internally make change, because the faces of our company, you know, we have to represent the diversity that we want to support in the world. There's just countless studies out there now. I think it's no longer the sort of the mystical idea that you won't do a good job of being relentlessly customer focused, right? If you don't represent what your customers look like. And so I think we've made some progress there. I can guarantee you we're committed to a lot more progress. And I think we want to be able to be upstanding citizens in the Tableau community to represent the progress that we're making.
Excellent. Okay, no, that's great. And for those of you who aren't aware, Data Plus Women is a great initiative which actively tries to get more females, women involved to like be part of that data conversation and community. And I've been to those in the Tableau conferences. I know the people who run the local one here in Singapore, and it's really awesome to see that concept and ideas spread around the world, and you know, people just really pushing for it. So it's, and again, wouldn't
it's amazing.
It has the Tableau product and community to kind of help act as a platform to help people kind of build upon that, which is awesome. So yeah, no, it's good to see.
One of the things I love in the Tableau community is the aspect of inspiration. You know, that generosity that we talked about leads to inspiration, because people want to share ideas. People want to help other people. And Data Plus Women, you know, one sort of simple outcome of that, or it's simple to express, it's not simple to make happen. But if you take, you know, really accomplished women in a field, and you give them a channel, right, to be able to tell that story, right, it will lead to inspiration, right? And that inspiration then producing more of those cases to feature more, to, you know, it becomes that flywheel that just gets better and better. And so I think it's a terrific effort. I'm really excited about it.
Definitely. That's great. Thanks, man. Cool. So we'll put links to that down below in the show notes. So yeah, be sure to check that out, guys.
Exactly. You said guys like everybody, but
yeah,
I'll use the specific guys, like, yes, men, get involved.
Oh.
You will learn and you will be a better supporter.
That's true. Because I see that when I use guys, it's just a general, but you're right. It used to be just a dude only thing, but it can still be both, but you're right. Yeah. Men should get
involved. Isn't that
funny? Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's really interesting because some people still, I don't know. Some people still think, oh, you're just excluding people. Like, no, I just see it as a neutral thing for everyone. It's just
what they have it. They have it. Then they'll tell you this first. They have it right in Texas. You know what they say in Texas?
What do they say in Texas?
They say y'all.
Hey, that makes
sense. A gender neutral and perfectly pleasant greeting. So there you go, y'all. That's the solver for all.
I like it. I have to practice. I think a British person trying to do a Texas y'all. It's probably. I need to work on that.
All right, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, man. We've already talked a lot about what makes Tableau stand out, but just we haven't covered everything. What would you say makes Tableau stand out from the other data visualization platforms and software in the market?
We've talked about so many aspects of that, so I'm going to pick a new one. I and people like me are offended, deeply offended if you have our product and you're not using our product. we build our product to actually solve problems. And we're deeply committed to the people that are using the product to solve those problems. And so I think, well, I know I've had experience with some of these companies, right? I've been a part of some of the business models that involve, you know, selling a lot of things that, you know, may or may not be used. And I will tell you, we will just continue to push ourselves on. If you look at our commercial model and the movement to the subscription model that's happened is kind of a core part of what we're doing. Mm. You know, you might have your reaction to it, like, hey, that works for my business, that doesn't work for my business. And, you know, we work with customers in many different ways, but it does show a commitment to saying, hey, we want you to be using this stuff. If you're not using it, stop paying for it. Turn it off, right? Yeah. And that raises you to a certain sort of game performance level, relationship with customers that says, we're willing to sort of, you know, put our money where our mouth is, I guess I could say. So
yeah,
it really offends us if you're not using the product. That's really, really important to us. And I boy, would I be surprised if you talk to other companies and they have that same answer. So I think that's something that sets us apart.
No, I like that. Yeah, yeah. You literally put your money and your paycheck where your mouth is. Because, yeah, otherwise other companies would be like, oh, cool, we'll just sell it. And I forget. And it'll just be this really expensive little icon on their desktop they'll never use. And so you guys, yeah, that's great. But, like, if they don't use it, then you don't get paid. So that's awesome to hear that is part of your ethos. And, yeah, excellent. Okay, so we're going to end off on a kind of fun question. I ask all my guests this because I feel pie charts, they often get a bad rap. So I wanted to see, it's probably a loaded question too, but like pie charts, do you love them or loathe them?
Okay, I have to admit that I don't have the deep religion on loathing them. Mm-hmm. And I see them having a perfectly reasonable place in the world for answering a set of questions quickly. Hmm. So I hesitate to say that I love them.
Yeah,
that feels a little strong, but I don't loathe them. I'm really not trying to not answer your question here. I kind of feel like it's neither one. Like, just like any visualization type, well, that's maybe an overstatement, but there's a lot of different visualization types that are the right tool for the job. And, you know, sometimes it's a pie chart. Fair enough. It doesn't bother me. I'm not too religious on that. But I talk to people that are. And that's fine too. I don't have a problem with that. Don't use it.
yeah, that's fair enough. No, this is often the thing we get back is like, yeah, it depends, right tool for the job. But it's good to hear straight from the horse's mouth that, yeah, you're not going to get rid of pie charts anytime soon in the tablet products. They still have a place.
I am not here today to announce the dissolution of pie charts. No,
yeah, it's good to hear. You're safe, pie charts.
So how about you, David? Where's your...
That's a great thing. I've never actually been asked that back. So look, I feel, yeah, like they get a bad rap. But again, I think I come down in onto the it depends. Like you just said too, that there's often a better fitting chart for the right kind of data or the right kind of story. And sometimes it is pie charts. If it's just, you know, showing a huge proportion of, you know, maybe two or three items and like one dimension is way bigger than the others. Yeah, pie chart works pretty well. I mean, you could argue a bar chart, but I think people are still familiar with pie charts, but they can often break down. I think they're situational. So I think I'll use them. I still use them, just but only when it's right, I think. So it's just often it can mislead or be misinterpreted, which is a huge risk. And that's a big no-no for most visitors, like especially looking at slight differentiations. Yeah. Like 49%.
Slight differentiations, big distributions across a bunch of different dimensions. You know, you start to get, if you start to have too many, right? It you really start to sort of lose it, especially if a bunch of them start to get really small. You know, you're losing sort of the interpretation of it. But now, on the other hand, if you have three and one of them is dominating, in a bar chart, it takes a bunch of space.
So the
economy of that might be really good, you know, to show that in a pie chart. So I I know there are people that feel deeply, deeply committed to an answer on this. I fancy myself a little more practical on it.
Yeah.
But I am interested to hear where you're coming from. That was
no, that's true. Yeah, yeah. No, thanks for that. So yeah, I think you should never write off any kind of tool. Just know it's there. It has its place. It has its purpose. But yeah, just denying yourself the use of it based on like a principle or is kind of not always great. And I think thankfully everyone I've interviewed so far on the podcast, all these DataViz experts, they've all given a similar answer of like, it depends. They don't love them, but they're also like, you'd be silly to discount them completely. So it's good to hear. It'd be like, I know a handyman who never uses a saw, even though they should, and there are other ways to do it, but it's like, why don't it like use it when you need it? Like, yeah, so it's, yeah. But no,
have you ever used one of these wrenches that you use under your sink where you use it to undo the thing that's up under, you're never going to get your hand up under there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's very specialized to be able to get up in there. And so maybe that's a pie chart. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, yeah, you'd be a fool to like use it for any other purpose. But when you need it for that one purpose, oh my God, no other tool will do. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I need to work on some kind of analogy. Yeah, that's,
there we go. We got it all figured out.
Yeah, yeah. I'll make a video on that. It's kind of in defense of the pie chart. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Well, this is we're coming to the end now. So this has been a really good chat, Mark. Like, I feel like I've learned a lot more about the Tableau, the way you guys think about the products, the communities, and also, you know, we've got some really good reassuring insights into the Salesforce acquisition. So I just wanted to thank you for your time on this. But before we go, do you have anything else you'd like to mention or talk about?
Well, number one, David, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I really enjoyed the conversation. I'm so appreciative of everything that you're doing for the Tableau community. It's too long to list, but it was nice to spend some time together, get to know you a little bit better. And as a voice of a bunch of questions that I know people in the Tableau community have. So this is a really leveraged opportunity for me. It's not just fun, but you know, I get to say it once and many people get to hear it. And so that's a real luxury for me. And I can't say thank you enough.
Thank you.
And then last, and you know, this is a bit of a further travel for people in your part of the world there. But man, I'd love to see everybody at Tableau Conference. One of the big questions that I get asked is, well, is Tableau Conference still going to exist? And I'm like, shit, yeah, it's going to exist.
Love it. I love it.
So yeah, let's get together. Let's have some fun. Let's talk data. Let's talk community. Maybe that's where I want to close. I can't wait to see people.
That's good. Well, I'll definitely be there. And yeah, you can't miss me. I'm 6'8", 2 meters tall. So just look for the giant and the yellow. we'll have a chat. We'll have a chat in person. So
I look forward to it.
That's great. Okay. So cool. Okay. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for everything we've covered today. And if you're new to the podcast, consider subscribing to stay up to date on the latest episodes. Also visit datasaurus-rex.com/welcome to see all the other data visualization content we have to help you out. Until next time, thank you very much. And thank you, Mark.
Thank you.